Please open your Bibles this evening to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. This is the name of the book, the second law or the second giving of the law of God. And we're studying the Ten Commandments on Sunday evening. We believe that they are written by God's finger on tablets of stone to Moses, but indicating that they come from His very nature. They come directly from God to man, not through a mediator like Moses or Jesus Christ. And so we study the Ten Commandments as a reflection of God's nature. His goodness and righteousness are revealed in the law, and therefore so is our sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. And even as we come to reading these verses tonight, we need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ kept every law, every one of the Ten Commandments in His thoughts, in His words, and in His deeds. And so we look at chapter 5, and we find in verse 16 a repeat from the original giving of the law. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And this was the second giving of the law before they entered the land of Canaan. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, because here we find that after giving the Ten Commandments again, that he repeats and expands the responsibility of parents. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes to the church in Ephesians, and those children that were there present when the letter of the Ephesians or the epistle was read to them. Children, and this goes for every child here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we find that both Testaments instruct parents to teach their children the same commandment, and that children are called by God to obey that same command. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us to understand the importance of the Ten Commandments as we go through this study, that they are a reflection of your nature. And when you made Adam and Eve, that reflection of the ten words was also worked into their hearts. We know that they may not have been able to articulate each of the ten, but they understood by the divine nature that you put in them that their first responsibility was to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. And all of the truths and principles that are involved with that and included with that. So help us to understand the Lord Jesus kept what Adam and Eve could not, the law, and therefore was qualified to go to the cross and bear blood atonement to cover the sins of his people for every transgression of the law of God. And not only to gain their atonement, but also to grant his people, those who believe in you, the gift of his perfect righteousness, to stand before God justified, accepted, and adopted as children. So help us as the children of God, first, to put these laws upon our minds and hearts, to love you and to love our neighbor, and then to diligently teach these things to our children. Help us to think clearly about what is our responsibility, and what is it that you require of our children? For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been good for me to restudy the Ten Commandments as I've worked through them with you. And it's been also a challenge, because the more I study them, the more I want to say about them to you. And I have to be concise, and I have to decide what not to say so that it can make some sense to you, I hope. But we've been studying the Ten Commandments, and they are the summary, the two great commandments are the summary of the Ten Commandments. Love God in the first four commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Love your neighbor in the second six, which begins with children, obey your parents in the Lord. If Jesus died to atone for each of the transgressions of those commandments and paid the penalty of his Father's wrath against us for violating his law, so that now our sins are atoned for and we're covered with the righteousness of Christ, we stand before God as if we ourselves had kept all ten of those commandments, hidden with Christ in God, then it ought to be the desire of every redeemed soul to love God and keep his commandments. And when Jesus Christ summarized what he wanted his disciples to do, he said, love me and keep my commandments. So you have to study the commandments thoroughly, continually, in order to do God's will. And as we've been studying the fifth commandment, we've already come upon several things that it teaches. It says, honor your father and mother, but it's the first commandment in that part of the law, which means to love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, it's required of children to honor their father and mother. Not to do so would be wrong. It would be sin. There's no way I can go through the things tonight of how we're to honor our father and mother at the different ages we are. I'm going to start a little bit tonight with small children. But at every age, we're to honor our father and mother, whether we're preschoolers and toddlers, or young men and women, young adults, even after we leave our father and mother and cleave to our wife and begin a new home, a new family, we're to honor our father and mother. Paul instructed very clearly the church that children are to make a return to their parents in old age. And one of the traditions in Western civilization, young people, boys and girls, was to stand in the presence of gray heads. That is, those that are older than you are, to stand and honor them, even if they're not your father and mother. That there's a certain honor that God has instituted in creation in Adam and Eve that was fallen when they dishonored God and each other. That God is now calling all everywhere to repent of their dishonor to their father and mother, their disobedience to their father and mother, their disrespect to their father and mother. To seek God's mercy through the bloody death of Jesus Christ, that their sins may be washed away. And in their repentance for what they've done wrong, to seek God's help to do that which is right. To honor their father and mother in whatever capacity it exists. Now, some of the things we've talked about is that this commandment, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. It has a background. It's in a context. In the context first of loving God. That you can't keep this commandment if you do not love God. And if you break this commandment and dishonor your father and mother, you are always sinning against God too. That the commandment means to love. And it recognizes that God has, in His sovereignty, put authorities all through the earth in human existence. Beginning with Himself. And kings and all authorities that He's given are backed by Him as His instruments and ministers to bring order to a sinful, selfish humanity. And beyond that, all these authorities comes the family. And that in marriage, which was created before having children, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. But of course, that means in his headship and authority that he's going to love his wife like this, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then there's the authority of parents, which we're looking at tonight. And there's some things you have to understand in teaching your children in how to obey the fifth commandment, which is to honor you. Doesn't that seem selfish? To teach your children, to discipline your children, to honor you in all that they do? Well, no, it's not selfish because God has commanded it as the way that He introduces children to His authority over all things. And to let the children understand what is right and wrong from their parents' lips, but also what is mercy and grace from their parents' love. And so we find that this responsibility of parents is great. And it's the first commandment that God gives in how people are to behave on earth. The first place a child has relationships with other people is with his father and mother. It is from that relationship they learn God's commandments and how He wants us to live, what love is, sometimes what love is not, sadly. They learn from their parents what the grace of God means, or else they learn pride and arrogance, independency and rebellion. They learn from their parents about the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered upon the cross the penalty for our transgressions, so that every time a parent teaches and disciplines their child in the Lord, including correction for what they've done wrong, they always, having themselves been saved by grace, do it graciously. Teaching their children about a wonderful Savior who never sinned, who died for our sins, and who sends His Spirit into the hearts of sinners to help them to change, to love God with all their heart, to love their neighbor as themselves. So parents first, as it says in Deuteronomy 6, must put the Ten Commandments on their own heart and live by them under grace and mercy, still forming their thoughts, their words, and their deeds toward their children according to the teaching of the Ten Commandments, which is to love God and man. You can't love another person unless you keep the Ten Commandments toward them. And yet that is the very heart that's been taken out of parenting in the last 60 or 70 years in America, or was never put there by many cultures of the world. So in understanding the Ten Commandments, we're talking about how parents are to train their children and teach them the law of God, that they may understand their sinful nature and that they also may hear of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this again is that great doctrine of the Bible, the law and the gospel, which Brother Tom has been teaching us over and over again, which I tried to teach you. The Bible is one. God is good and righteous, and these commandments reflect that. He loves what is good and hates what is evil. He made us in His image to be like Him, but we fell away in rebellion, and now Jesus died to make us good again and to teach our children what is good. So we come to that summary, the big job of parents, but tonight I want to move on to the specific work of parents. And in doing this, I'm not neglecting children and young people that are here. I want you to understand what your parents' job is and assign to them by God Himself that the whole world is not about you in getting what you desire. The world is about God and how He wishes us to live for Him. And you must understand the responsibilities God has given to your parents so that you would not allow their remaining faults and even sins justify your disobedience to them. There has never been a perfect parent since Adam and Eve sinned. And the best of parents are parents at best. And yet, in the midst of that imperfection of parents, whether they are non-Christians or Christians with imperfections, is this call of God to you, directly from God: honor your father and your mother. So it's not about you, and it's really not even about your parents. It's about God. There's something in this commandment that is the foundation of how you learn to treat all men and love your neighbor. And so if God put it first, we ought to put it first in terms of our human relationships. Now, what does God actually say to parents about raising their children? And I want us to look at Ephesians 6 again. And notice as we look at these first four verses, young men and women, that the Apostle Paul was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit a way to communicate to the children sitting there in church when the elders read this letter to them. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? And he said, this is it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience is right. Now, of course, boys and girls, and it's sad to say that this has happened in history, there are some parents that have trained their children to steal. You say, well, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. Ask Brother Seth Mathern about that, where he is the security guy at Target for so many years, would watch parents on the outside train their children to go inside Target and steal things and bring it back out to them. It happens every day. There are even parents that teach their children to be immoral. There are parents in this community that have paid for hotel rooms in Baton Rouge for their children and their date after the senior prom. You see what I'm getting at here? Parents are accountable to God, boys and girls and young people. And they will stand before God and give account for how they raised you and whether they taught you the law of God properly when they rise up in the morning with you, when they walk with you through the day, when you come to bed at night, that they're always teaching. They're always not preaching at you, and that's really a bad word to say because preaching is not a bad thing, but in some way experiencing or expressing an anger for what you did wrong. Some young people call that preaching. But rather, in love, teaching about theft, hatred, lying, stealing, discontent, and grumbling on the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. It's their job to do that. And if you rebel against that, you're rebelling against God, not them as much. You're saying to God, you're wrong to give me the commandment, and you're wrong to give me this set of parents. And when you rebel against God, there's consequences. First of all, you will stand before God one day and give account for how you obeyed your father and mother on everything they instructed you about God and about life, and everything that they commanded you to do and whether you did it. Now, you might say, well, I always obeyed my father and mother because I knew if I didn't, I'd get in trouble. But that's not the same thing as honoring your father and mother. It means from the heart, in submission to God, you love God and honor them in honor of God. Do you think that way when your mom and dad talk to you, when they teach you? Do you space out, or do you say, how much longer are they going to talk? I'm going to die right here if they don't quit talking. See, this commandment is the beginning of all your human relationships for the rest of your life. And though your parents may be far from perfect, if they teach you about God's truth, you are called to submit to that teaching. And if they command you to do things in obedience to them, God is commanding you to do it. And he will hold you accountable before his judgment seat one day on whether or not you did it. And if you didn't obey your father and mother, and with a good attitude, God knows that too. He knows the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And he will judge that too. Which means you need a Savior and fast. Come to Christ. So, what are parents to do? Well, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And I want to focus a little bit on those two words. In my translation, discipline and instruction. And the first word there, and in the King James, it's nurture and admonition. So it's the same words, but different translations or choice of translations of those words in our Bibles. But here's what the words mean. The first word is the Greek word paideia, and it means to instruct or educate children. That's what it means. So, this particular word has the idea of fathers, and that includes mothers, to instruct or to teach, not just react to their children, but to positively have a structure and plan to teach and instruct their children. To be a pedagogue, that is one who is teaching and planning the learning of a child. And it's more than just giving information to the child. Just because we had family worship or gave a good Christian book to our child to read does not mean we have fulfilled this commandment, paideia, or this word. It means to instruct and educate, but with some teeth in it. With some teeth in it. That means the verbal instruction of a parent with the rod. The rod and reproof bring life, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. So this idea of paideia or instruction is not just verbal instruction without correction and accountability, nor is it just corporate discipline, the use of the rod, without instruction. It's a call to parents to take up the responsibility to teach the whole counsel of God to their children, the law and the gospel, to gain their attention, to teach them while they rise up in the morning, while they walk through the day, and when they go to bed at night, to take that place that God's given them to be the educator of their children in the things of God. And boys and girls, if you don't respect that parent that God has put to be your teacher, to listen to them and to honor them in their teaching, to give that word honor, give weight to, then God has authorized them to use corrective measures till you do. Because when you're born a child, you're born with a sinful nature. And the heart of having a sinful nature is that I will do what I wish to do and not what God has commanded. That's what Adam and Eve did. God gave them commandments. They broke those commandments and said, "I will not have God tell me what to do." And that nature was passed on to every one of us since then. So you're born with a sinful nature that if you don't have parents to help you, you'll kill yourself. And you say, "Well, that's a little extreme." No, it's not. I've told the congregation in years past when we had our three children, every single one of our children, all three of them, came that far from death. Whether it was a truck about to run over them, or they went into the street and a car would hit them, or whether they were about to fall off a precipice and we commanded them to stop. if they had not obeyed us, they would be dead. God gave Debbie and myself as instruments to spare them from their own rebellion, their own sinfulness. And so the responsibility of a parent to instruct and correct their child while they're little, to restrain their natural sinfulness and call them to account for their actions and think of others besides themselves, is the high calling of fatherhood and motherhood. And for a child to dishonor your father and mother is to say to God, "You don't know what you're doing. And I don't care what you've done." By the law comes the knowledge of sin, and shows a child the need of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, Christian parents, however, must follow God's word themselves. It's not enough to say to a child, "Do as I say, not as I do." God's call to parents is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of their food, clothing, shelter shall be added to them, and their example of grace to their children will be the greatest gift they could give to them. A parent who tells their child to quit having a tantrum, yet with an angry voice, to the child is a hypocrite. And they have nothing to say to them about God because their parent is a hypocrite. And that seed of rebellion that comes from a parent's lack of Christian growth and sanctification is used by the devil in your child's heart and mind, as well as their own tendency to sin by nature, to increase their rebellion against God and their soul's danger of hell. This is not about just behaviorism. You put in a structure in place and you tell your child what to do, and when they don't do it, you spank them. And if they do it, you give them a reward and you make a nice little robot that always does what you say. There's far more to it than that. We're talking about living before the child a love for God's law and a love for God. And if they don't see that, why should they love God? Why should they love His law? Now, what does it mean when Deuteronomy clarifies that parents, as parents, not just Israelites, but as parents, are called to love the law and put it on their hearts and then teach it to their children? Well, in regard to the Ten Commandments, there's two places I want to point you tonight as resources for parents. In first, how to live before the child. And secondly, what exactly do you teach a child? What is the instruction that you bring to them? And again, I'm speaking to children as well as parents, so children will understand that God holds your parents accountable to teach you these very things. So don't be mad at your parents if they're making you learn things or correct you for wrong, because God has commanded them to do this. If you look at the Ten Commandments, we are called as parents to teach our children that to have no other gods before the only true God is to love God. To love God as their creator. To love His character, His attributes of righteousness and goodness, sovereign power and mercy. We teach them about God. We teach them the attributes of God. We teach what it means in the way we speak about God, the way we think about God. And we are called ourselves to love this God before our children. Now, sometimes at funerals, children will rise up and say things about their father and mother. And that's good, because they are instruments of God to raise them. But the greatest thing that a child can say about a parent is, they loved God. And they loved others. And they loved me. And mean it. That the greatest goal of that parent was not the accumulation of wealth or the obsessive seeking after pleasure and things. But the most important thing to this parent was to thank God for His grace toward them in salvation and to love Him and keep His commandments in their life, including how that parent loved them. So if parents do not put the law of God upon their own hearts first, the children look upon it as hypocrisy to teach them. Secondly, the parents are to teach their children to worship God's way in spirit and truth. Namely, to be committed to a church. You shall not make any graven images and bow down to them, which is talking about corporate worship. It's talking about the temple in the Old Testament and God's commandments and how He was to be worshipped under the Sinai covenant. But it also means that we are to teach children what it means to worship God alone, not through things. And to do that means we have to instruct them at home and bring them to church to learn what worship in spirit and truth means. It means parents must love the church. And if they love coming to church, and it's not something that they do when it's convenient or when it doesn't interfere with their pleasures, that the child knows that the most important thing to mom and dad is God Himself, and particularly this God who gave His Son on their behalf. It's all about love. The commandments are the definition of love to God and man. And we're trying to teach that to our children, to not take God's name in vain or hypocritically. And that means that we live that before our children. We don't say we love God and then treat them sinfully. And if we should fall into a sin, we have the honesty and humility to admit it to our children. And we go to them and seek their mercy and forgiveness for our transgression against them. And not blame them for our transgression. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We teach that. We teach them to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, that this is God's gift to man, that you don't have to work on the Sabbath day. That it's right to gather with God's people and worship. We teach them to honor us, because as we teach them to honor us, we're teaching them to honor the God who gave them to us and who commands them to obey Him. Sometimes there's this interaction between parents and children that's not healthy. It's not right. Some parents have a dissatisfied relationship with their husband or wife, so they turn to their child. And they turn to their child to be kind of their confidant, or to their child's affection and acceptance, because they are so dissatisfied with their marriage. And all that does is harm the child. Because God has called that child to treat parents not as confidants or buddies first, but as the instruments of God in their life to teach them how to love God and man. But some parents set their child up for disobedience to this commandment by trying to be their buddy and friend and give them everything they want so the child will be bribed to love them. Instead of looking upon that child as a gift of God that He has given as a stewardship to them to raise them His way. And only if we teach them to honor us and the authority that God has placed over them will they understand what it means to grow up and honor God and submit to His authority as an adult. So God's commandments not to murder and hate with the tongue or even the thoughts, to not commit adultery, because they understand that the married love of their father and mother is what it's about. And more beautiful and more true and honest and loving and kind than any kind of junk they see on TV or magazines or hear in music. Two people committed to be one, covenanting together to bring children in this world and love them as God wants to love them. What's wrong with that? Nothing, unless you're listening to the voices of the world instead of the voice of God. Not coveting, but being thankful. Not lying and deceiving. Not stealing. And parents are called to teach those commandments not only about crimes by which you go to jail, but when there are siblings in the home, brothers and sisters, they're living together in the home, they have to not lie to them. They have to not steal their things and respect their property. They have to not hate them with killing words, but rather to deny themselves and love their neighbor as they would wish to be loved themselves. This is where children learn about God. This is where they learn about love, and it's all in that parental relationship. And boys and girls, God has commanded your mom and dad to do that with you. And if you don't like that, that's your problem with God, not with them. And you're going to give account with Him. And what you need is to find a Savior and submit to Him and trust Him when He tells you, honor your father and mother. Can't you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life up for a sinner like you? That when He gives you a command, it must be right. It must be good. See, it's all about faith, young people. Faith in God. The second thing that God has given, and I'm just going to go quickly through this, but is the book of Proverbs. Now turn with me to the book of Proverbs for a moment. The Ten Commandments, but also chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. Now, a long time ago, I brought a series on Proverbs to y'all and didn't cover every proverb. But here's young people and parents, things I said about Proverbs. First of all, that the book of Proverbs is in perfect harmony. Every single proverb is in perfect harmony with all of the Ten Commandments. See, God's mind has inspired all the Scriptures. The Proverbs were given under the time of the Sinai Covenant. And that means that every proverb here is some outworking of the Ten Commandments to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's one. The second thing about Proverbs is that when the Lord Jesus Christ lived on earth, He kept every proverb and thought like this and spoke like this and made decisions like this. Every single proverb in this book was perfectly fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ as an outworking of obedience to His Father in heaven, doing the will of His Father. And when He was a little boy, Joseph and Mary taught Him the Proverbs. And when He went to the synagogue, the rabbis read the Proverbs. And the Lord Jesus, being without sin and rebellion in his heart, accepted and drew in every proverb that he heard and said, I must do that because God wants me to. And so parents have a manual of instruction of how to keep the Ten Commandments in detail in the book of Proverbs. And the fact that Jesus fulfilled every one means that when he died upon the cross, he atoned for every proverb you have broken and not fulfilled in your life. Are you beginning to see what Jesus was like with the law of God, to love your neighbor? How the Lord Jesus trusted in his Father and obeyed every proverb and the way he treated everybody, including his brothers and sisters, when they were mean and sinful to him. And then when he died upon this cross, just read through the book of Proverbs and see how many that you've not lived by or that you've lived opposite to, and understand that every time you have violated one of these proverbs, that sin had to go upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be punished by God his Father with his wrath because of you. And now Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, weary of sin, weary of fear. Come unto me, and I will give you rest of soul. Come to me, I will not cast you out, he said in John 6. He bore such a mountain of sins that is uncountable. So this is why parents should teach Proverbs to their children. It's God's will for them. There's no ceremonial laws in the book of Proverbs. It's pure moral wisdom, which is the working out of God's law in life. That's what wisdom is. What it means to work out loving God and loving your neighbor in life. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is simply saying that when your parents instruct you about the things of God, if you despise that, you're despising God. You don't fear the Lord. You don't give respect and honor to the Lord. You're trying to run your own life, control it like you wish, and have live with neither your siblings or your parents bothering you too much. But that's the life of a fool. It's a lack of wisdom. Verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. In other words, they're an adornment to you, like a crown of leaves on your head and an adornment upon your neck. These are things which are a blessing to you. Your father's instruction, your mother's instruction. And you can't choose to follow your mother's and neglect your father's. God says both. And if you fear the Lord, that is, you reverence and honor the Lord as your God, and you have come to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, you are still responsible to honor your father and mother and their instruction and teaching to you. And not to do so is sin against God. Proverbs 4, verses 1 and 2. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. See, the home teaching of father and mother to you is meant to be foundational for the rest of your life. But what do we have in America? Well, it's been that way since the beginning. A father and mother, like Adam and Eve, teach their two sons, Cain and Abel, honey, God has created us, and He wants, we did not love Him as we should, but now we want to love Him, and we want you to love Him and obey God, to love one another. And what happened? The first sin recorded after the fall in Adam and Eve is a brother killing his brother, murdering his brother, dishonoring his father and mother for their teaching, rejecting God as the authority of his life, and it's gone downhill since. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Take them into your heart. Don't just say, well, I'll conform till I get out of the home. And like I was saying in America, as soon as I leave the home, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't care what my mom and dad think. Well, the problem with that is God cares. And so God has given them instruction what to teach you. And He says in 6:22 of Proverbs, when you walk about, they will guide you. That is their words. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline, that is your parents' reproofs for discipline, are the way of life. Honor your father, that your days may be long, so that you'll live a long life. Now, it is not true that every child that is born to a Christian parent who's raised in the nurture of the Lord never dies. We all die. But it's also true, and some of you know this from personal experience, that sometimes when a child disobeys and dishonors their father and mother, they actually die. They drive too fast and lose control of a car. They don't obey the law of the land and don't use a seatbelt. When they crash, they die. They drive with someone who has been drinking or using drugs, and they have a crash and they die. I have had funerals of young people who have disobeyed their father and mother and as a result died. And I still think about them when I look at you. It's only by God's grace I did not die. I'm telling you. Proverbs 13:24 to parents. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not hold back discipline from the child. Though you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. See what it says here, not just your reproof and instruction, but the teaching of instruction with discipline give wisdom. If you just teach your child to memorize scripture and do all that kind of thing and go through the catechism, but you're not correcting them and teaching them with correction and discipline as to their behavior, you haven't taught them wisdom. It's a sad thing to read about what happened to the priest Eli's sons, whom he trained to be priests at the temple, and that instead of correcting them, when they used that position to gain the affections of women, let them go on about their business, God killed them, and Eli died himself. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way, Proverbs 19:15, bring shame to his mother. And there's something that all of us need to understand, and most of us do that are older. When the wicked increase, Proverbs 29:16 and 17. When the wicked increase, transgression increases. But the righteous will see their fall. Sooner now, or at the judgment seat of Christ, the righteous will see the fall of the wicked. And one of the saddest things that I can imagine is for a parent to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, righteous and without sin themselves, agreeing with God completely into His morality, into His commandments, loving Him for being so good and righteous, that they agree with the judgment against their child. You think about that. Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Well, the second word is nouthesia, and it means admonition, to confront, to argue for right, to reason with that child as they grow up and make them think. Not just say, do it because I said so. But to talk to them about the God who's commanded and the Jesus who died. The terribleness of sin and the goodness of unselfish love toward another person, especially their brother and sister and their parents. Well, I've got to stop, but all these things must be done without yourself sinning against your child and provoking them to anger and breaking God's law. That means that parents must call upon the Lord Jesus all the time to deal with their own heart and mind so that they've got a clear head to love and teach and correct their child. So this commandment, honor your father and your mother, is the first place that children learn to deny themselves and honor others or become more self-centered and no longer care for others. Let us pray.